It's good to be back. Praise the Lord. God is good. I mean, God is good.
Amen.
Praise God. It is good to be back. I'm excited to see what God is going to do this year. I'm excited. Praise the Lord. I'm going to try my best to make sure when the children go, they have at least half an hour to do their stuff. And if we finish before them, we'll just wait, right? So, because my daughter came to me just before I left, and she said, "Dad, we left, and I wanted to sing that song." So the kids want to enjoy worship because, you know, I told the people in Trinidad, I said, worship is not something we tack on the end, because they were doing the same thing they did a few years ago. I'm about ending my message, and there's people still coming 45 minutes after. That's a long time to be late. And I said to them, and then my mom said this, and this is when I realized that they don't understand, most of them don't understand, that worship is part of being in the presence of God and really taking your mind off of your circumstance and put on God. Many of these songs we sang this morning, I hope you were praying those things. I hope you had an attitude of prayer and they had an attitude of worship and adoration to God, because to me, some of those were great prayers, wonderful prayers, right? So don't think this is just a part we kind of tack on to make up an hour to be in church. It's not a part we tack on. It's an important part of us coming to meet as a group to focus on God. It's an important part. Amen? Amen. One thing I want us to do next week, and kids, you can do this too, okay? This is not just for adults. I want us to have a week of fasting. And this is how we're going to do it. You can fast something on Monday, whatever you want on Monday. If you say you go fast TV, or if you go fast candy, fast something on Monday. You're not fasting the whole day, just something on Monday. On Tuesday, we're going to start fasting one meal. You choose the meal. Tuesday, you choose the meal, and you fast one meal on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. On Friday, I want us to fast 6 to 6. That means no food from 6 in the morning to 6 in the evening. That doesn't mean you pile up all the food and you eat it at 7 o'clock, okay? So... What a shame. We fast from 6 to 6 on Fridays. I realize now some people wouldn't be able to fast 6 to 6 because your job is a difficult job and you need your energy. You need your energy. Therefore, choose a meal you believe you can fast through and use that. But if you are able to fast from 6 in the morning to 6 in the evening, do that. That doesn't mean you get up at 5 o'clock so you could stuff your face, okay? So you could start at 6. That's not what it means, all right? Now, this is the thing. Now, if you're going to fast lunch, Monday is no specific time because it's something you just go fast Monday. But when you start Tuesday, if you're going to fast breakfast, I want you to take that time, breakfast time that you usually have, to pray. Don't just fast it and sit down. I want you to pray, read the Bible. We want to ask God to really direct us and take us to where we need to go this year. That's what we want. So I want you to focus on that as you pray. And so on Friday, if you're working and you're fasting the whole days, those meal times should be time of being in the Word and pray. Okay? All right. So what are we doing? Monday, anything you want. Anything. Could be candy. It could be sweets. It could be reading the newspaper. I don't know what you do on a regular basis that you would want to fast on Monday. But on Tuesday, we go one meal a day until Thursday. On Friday is 6 to 6, if you can do it. If your job doesn't really have that. Now, some people may not be able to do that because they have diabetes and they got to eat and they got to do all of that. But you can fast something else than food if you're in that case. You can fast something you like doing, but you could still be seeking the Lord and praying for direction. Huh? Or if your medication requires food. We're not saying don't take your medication. So don't say that. And we need to focus. Okay. Next thing. Now, this is not going to be a regular thing I'm going to do every Sunday. Okay. These are just things that I have here. I want to thank you all for the prayers that I've gotten while I was gone. I can see the prayers working. I told Jill I was running lights for my mother because for years I go and she has one plug. I mean, one plug running every room in the house. One plug, I mean running everything. There's extension cord going here and going there, and some of those extension cord is taped up here and taped up there and taped. They make, you know. So when I got there, it was good that I wasn't on a mission trip. I was able to spend my time and run some wires, and that was good. And they're working. At least she could switch a light on and the light came on. And I tell them, if it go boom, you know that I got it wrong. But it did. And it all worked. But I heard when I told Jill what I was about to do, she told Ed, and Ed said, let's pray. So I'm thankful that I got prayers because prayer works. I'm telling you, prayer works. So let's continue to pray. Let's also continue to pray for my mom because I believe God can dissolve that lump and it's gone. I believe God can do it. God's grace is sufficient. Praise you, Jesus. I know time is well spent, so I had my message done. I even have, you know, when I have a card, that means I was going a little long. But I want you to read this week Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 1 to 10, because that's what I was going to preach. I was really struggling with two things, that and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I was struggling with those two, which one I should do, and I end up working on Deuteronomy chapter 31 to 10. Okay? But my question with 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is this. I'm going to ask you this, and this could be in part of your fasting next week. Do you know what gift you have? Do you know what gift you have? What's your gift? It talks about gifts in there. If you read it, I'm not going to read it, but, well, maybe. Somebody find 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And would you read for me and read down to the end of those gifts?
Chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one, and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ.
Amen. Now, do you know what your gift is? It's the same Spirit, the same power, but it's for the common good of all of us. When was the last time we had speaking in tongues in here and somebody interpreted? I know it's the lesser of the gift, but when last, the lesser of the gift, when last it was operated here, the lesser of the gift. Think about that for a minute. In the seven years we've been here, I don't think we had a gift of tongues or the interpretation. I was thinking about it. I was trying to think if it has ever manifested, and guess what? I don't think it has since we have started this church. But the Bible said these gifts are what? For the what? The common good. How is it going to do us any good if it's not operating? It talks about healing. Well, I could say that I've really seen us praying and healing, but I know of somebody in this assembly that I believe God uses to the gift of healing. And that person knows who they are. We need it operating. Why? It's for what? The common good. I know somebody in this place that have the gift of prophecy, and I've seen it operate a few times. Why it needs to operate? Why? For the common good. Mercy. So what's your gift? What is your gift? I guarantee you today there's people sitting right here that doesn't know what their gift are. Their gift is. I was searching for it. You see, you guys are good. That's how I like it. You're reading my mind. You know, you kids, you all have a gift. Do you know you guys have a gift? I know you may be 11, but you got a gift. You all have a gift. You don't have to take her outside. We're fine. Each one of you have a gift. I hope that when they go over there sometime, George is allowing them to use those gifts. One thing I have noticed is, we don't like this, but you know that children is a product of their environment. We don't like to say that, but you know the environment shapes the child more so than the parent, because the parent creates an environment in their home. If we, in this assembly, create an environment where the gifts are being used, what do you think will happen with our children? They will grow up seeing the gifts used. They'll understand how to use the gifts, and they themselves will use the gift. If you have a gift in this assembly, and I know you do because he has given all of us, and some of you have more than one. If you're not using that gift, it is not benefiting us at all. Therefore, we are not getting the good that we should get from your gift. And one gift to me is not important, more important than the other. You know why? Because it's the same spirit, the same power. And it's all for the common good, no matter which how you see it on the scale of the importance. In those gifts, and these are things I was thinking about. I don't know why I had both of them in my head. And I guess the Lord, and I never, you know something? Every time I have two messages in my head, I always prepare the one that I shouldn't prepare. It always happened that way. I don't know why. But then it says, does all prophesy? Does all work miracles? No. Guess what? You're not going to do all of them. You're not going to operate in all of them. You may have speaking in tongues, and you may think, that's like the lesser one down there. Well, if you think that way, you should go cut off your little toes. Cut them off. Because, you know, they're little and they're covered up all the time. And they're really no good. They wouldn't even throw you off balance much once you cut them off. So cut them off. So therefore, if that sounds kind of ridiculous to you, no matter what your gift is, it's very, very, very important. I would like to see us as a church operate in the gifts. And I don't mean, I don't know how God's going to work it all out. And I'm glad that I don't have to work it all out. God's going to work it all out. Because I guarantee if somebody stands up in this assembly and say and gives a word in tongues, I believe that God has somebody else that have the gift of interpretation. And the Bible says you should even pray for the interpretation. I have given messages in tongues before and given the interpretation. What has happened? What has happened to us that we have gotten away from the gifts that God has given to the church? Listen, why do you guys think the pastor has to do everything? I may have the gift of preaching and the gift of being a shepherd, but you may have the gift of a service. So when somebody needs something, you are more capable to do it than I am. But this is what you want. You want the pastor every time. I may not be the one. Now, the pastor sometimes, God anoints him in certain times to operate in that gift. And that's just that one time and it's gone. Until God wants him to use that gift again. But if you have somebody in your assembly that has the... Now, we got to obey the word when it says, call the elders together, pray. We need to obey that too. But if you have somebody in your assembly that operates in the gift of healing, when you are needing a healing, what are you doing calling the pastor? Now, I would love to know because I want to pray for you too. But if I knew, I would call the person that has the gift of healing. That's who I'll call. I said, look, I just went to the doctor and they said such and such, you need to pray for me. Sunday when you come to church, you need to lay hands on me and pray for me because I know you operate in the gift of healing and it's for the common good. And I'm one of the common. What are we doing? If we just come into church because it's something to do, we have the wrong mindset. I mean, we just have the wrong mindset. We are coming together for the common good. And God can use these gifts at any time. And I don't know why sometimes we feel our gift is not good enough. If your gift is serving, guess what? You enjoy serving. I don't see God giving you a gift that you don't enjoy doing. I just don't see it. I do not see God giving you a gift that you just don't enjoy doing. When I get a gift, I love it. And listen now, when Jill gets me a gift, she's been paying attention all year to see what I really, really want. I still remember the Christmas. I wanted an iPad. What's the music one? No, it wasn't that. No, a Palm. I wanted a Palm so bad. I had gone down to Jackal Island, and Ted Haggard was preaching, and all his messages was on this little device. And he was telling us how many messages he have on there, and he just picked out his device, and he was just preaching. He passed it on to the guy, and just gave the guy all his notes. And I said, I would love to have one of those. Well, I put it out of my head, and for Christmas, Jill... No, I guess I didn't. But I was not expecting one at all. I wasn't expecting one. And for Christmas, Jill told her mom. And they two got together. And when I opened that thing, I was so ecstatic. You couldn't believe it. It was the best gift I've ever gotten in a long time. Why? Because I enjoy it and I know I'd use it. God gives us gifts that he knows we are built for and we can use it and enjoy it. You know how you could find out what your gift is? A lot of times, think about the things you love doing. Think about the things that give you pleasure. If you get pleasure by serving somebody, I guarantee you that's one of your gifts. I guarantee it. If you get pleasure standing up by the street corner and preaching the word of God, I guarantee one of your gifts is evangelism. If you get pleasure reading the word and picking it apart, and really getting down to the nitty-gritty down in there, I guarantee you one of your gifts is teacher. Because you could just see it when nobody could see it. And you love doing it. What's your gift? If this morning you do not know what your gift is, I challenge you, especially the week we're going to be fasting in one capacity or another, I challenge you to seek God to show you what your gift is. And start using it for the Lord. What got me on this, too, the church in Trinidad had a thing going on, and a woman talked on this. But what got me, I went to meet my uncle so I could see him before I left, and he's younger than me. He was driving a maxi, and he said, come out to the bus route. So I went out to the bus route, and he picked me up in the maxi, and we talking good now. And as we were coming back up, he said, I have to go visit my mother-in-law in the hospital. And I didn't care. I don't mind going. I love visiting people. So I went up there, and as I was walking the halls of that hospital, the Spirit of God just said in my heart, people everywhere are hurting and they need ministry. I mean, that just sinked into me like never before. And it connected to what, and her talk wasn't about that, but it connected to the gifts. And I said, we need to know how to use our gift. God has given us gifts and we are not using them. Sometimes we are at the grocery store and God wants you to use your gift and you just walk on by. Sometimes God put people in you have the gift of mercy and God put people right next to you that need some mercy. And you just walk on by because you're not operating in your gift. Same spirit, same power, same God that gives them all. I want us to be as a church operating in our gifts. Now, when she spoke, she didn't say this, and I brought this out in Friday night when I spoke to them. I went over two, I saw things in two of the messages people give, and I just went back and reiterated some of the things I thought they should have brought out as they spoke. Because how his church is, the pastor up there now, he preaches two Sundays a month. He's doing ministry full time. And he preached two Sundays a month because he have so many preachers among the midst and want to grow up to, you know, and he's wanted to groom them. So they are preaching on Sundays also. I told him, woo. So, and they was the one who gave some of the talks during the week. They had meetings all night. And then, so the thing I saw was this. We got a desire. If you don't know, desire. But it says here in verse 31, but earnestly desire the higher gifts. Earnestly desire. And this is the thing. What's a desire? What's a desire? You know what's a desire? I desired that palm. I really desired that palm. And I made it known that I desired that palm. That's a desire. You know, sometimes I have a desire for ice cream. And the kind of ice cream I have a desire for usually is vanilla. No, all this stuff. And when I have desire, I go out and I get some ice cream. Because I have the desire. I do something about it to satisfy that desire. What we do as Christians sometimes, we get a desire, but it's like a fleeing thought. We get the desire and then there it goes. We do nothing about it. It's just a come in your head one way and it goes out there. If you have a true desire, you're going to do something about it. If you desire to have the gifts of God working in your life, you'll do something about it. You're not just going to sit there and hope it happens. You're going to do something about it. If you desire a job and you just sit home and do nothing about it, you're not going to get a job. It's not a desire. You may just want a job to get the parents off your case. You don't really desire a job. You just desire the parents off your case. But if you desire them off your case, you'll go get a job. So if you desire to work in the gifts of God, do something about it. Seek God about it. Pray about it. Cry out to God about it. I guarantee you, God is going to come through for you. And when you have that gift, it says, let's make sure we season that gift with love. Because he said, if I speak in tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. With the gift of God, let's use love. Let's season it up with love. You know why? When we seek God, we have that desire and that gift come to us, we could get a high head. We could get hoity. See, my gift is working miracles. Your gift is just speaking in tongues. Come on now. Don't tell me we can't go that way. Or we could say, I'm a prophet. You're just a servant. Come on. I don't know about you, but if you have some flesh on, there is the possibility for you to go that way. And then sometimes we could look down at the people who we're ministering to. Because we are something and they're not. We got to season that gift with love. You know, I remember, I said this. Sometimes when you're operating the gift, you have to overlook the ugly in people. I never understood the movie Beauty and the Beast. Because I never saw what she saw in that beast. I could never understand what she saw in that beast. That beast was ugly. And boy, was she pretty. And here she's liking this beast. She could see beyond the ugliness. One time I brought Jill home this dog. We called the dog Puppet. That dog, to me, when it grew from a puppy, was ugly. Jill thinks that dog was really pretty. I thought it was ugly. The hair on the dog was like wire. It stood up like wire. And then Jill got this beautiful Pomeranian. I mean, we called that dog Princess. She was so pretty. Jill and I went for a walk. I think Jill had, no, I had Coco. I had Coco. And Coco, how many people saw Coco? Coco was a pretty dog. Nice man. And she had the beast, I called him. She had Puppet. And we are walking down the road. I have Beauty and she has the beast. We are walking. And as we walk around the corner, I always thought the dog was ugly. And she would always remind me that I who brought the dog home. And a woman comes up and says how pretty the beast was. And I said to my, and in my mind, I said, what on earth is that woman looking at? She overlooked the wiry hair and saw something pretty created by God. She could overlook the beast and see the beauty. When God gives you your gift to work for the common good, you need to be able to overlook the beast and see the beauty. That's the only way it could be seasoned with salt. Let us pray. Father, as we start off a new year, Lord, we pray, God, that you would guide us, lead us, help us, Lord God, to operate in the gifts as you have laid them out in your word. There are so many. And Father, we pray, God, that we will be obedient to walk in your word, that we'll have the gifts operating according to this assembly. Father, we pray, God, that you will show each person what their gift is and give them the ability to season it with salt, with love, so that as they use this gift, it will be used with the love of God. We thank you that you are the one who give the gifts, and you give to each one as you see fit. Now, Lord, let us not do like the ones that had talents and never use them. He just went and dig a hole and cover it up. Let us be able to use the gifts that you have given us to produce the growth in each person's life so that they could go from where they are to where God wants them to be and glorify your name. Lord, we give you the praise today, the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Could we sing a song before we leave today? I'll let Ed do that. Draw me close, closer, Lord, to thee. Let the world around me fade away. Jesus, draw me closer, Lord, to thee. For I desire to worship and obey. Desire to worship and obey. Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to thee. The world around me fade away. Jesus, draw me closer, Lord, to thee. I desire to worship and obey. May God bless you and keep you, and you go in peace. Amen. You need to look at it, show it the right amount we got when you write your tithe. Okay. Jesus.